I kind of validated the idea itself by just doing a little online workshop, a one-off workshop for like, I don't know, 2 hours and pretty like low price, just to kind of see, are people willing to pay money to learn more about that topic? And people did.
Welcome to Level Up Your Course, where we pull back the curtain on what it takes to create learning that transforms lives. You will hear stories from business owners like you who share their success and their struggles. This is not where you come to hear passive income myths, friend. This is where you learn the truth about building a profitable learning platform. I am your host, Janelle Allen, and this is today's episode. What's up, everyone? It is Janelle. Today, I am joined by Connie Bierzaski, creator of the Art of Vulnerability course. Connie is here to talk about the course and what it means to be vulnerable. Welcome to the show, Connie.
Oh, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So we're going to kick things off with the rapid five, and that is five quick questions to help listeners get to know you. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I have to say, these are all new questions, so they're going to be great. First one, what did you have for breakfast?
I don't actually eat breakfast. I do intermittent fasting. I did have a coffee this morning, and I also have either like a lemon tea or fresh ginger tea.
Okay. Second one, what is the last movie you saw?
It was the amazing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I've heard it's great, though.
So good. Oh, man. We're just singing Queen all day long since we saw the movie.
I love it.
Yeah.
Number three. This is a serious question. So The zombie apocalypse hits, and you have just 5 or 6 minutes to grab your three essential items. What do you pick? Just three items. What do you pick?
Just three. Okay. It's definitely my camera, my yoga mat, and my laptop.
Yeah. I love that you're doing yoga during the zombie apocalypse.
For sure. you gotta stay calm.
All right. Now, I know that you travel. So next question, what is your favorite city?
That's a really difficult one. My favorite city. I'm actually not a real city kind of girl. I'm more into rural areas. But if I had to choose one city, I think right now it would have to be... Oh my God, this is so hard. Wait for it. I just can't really say. I'm just going to pick one just because, and that would be San Francisco. Yeah.
Okay.
I love San Francisco. It's a fun place.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to ask why you're in LA versus San Francisco, but...
You can.
Totally. That's okay.
But also the weather is probably one big reason.
Yeah, that is true. It's so cold in San Francisco in the summertime. Ugh.
Yeah. Not for me.
Number five, what is the hardest lesson you have learned as an entrepreneur?
The hardest lesson is that things don't necessarily get easier. You gotta keep going, and you just, because I've been starting a lot of new things over the years, and yeah, you can't ever just lie back and just be like, yeah, that's it, I've done it now. It's like that, because when you do that for too long, and I have done that, then yeah, something comes up and kicks you really hard. So that's kind of what's been happening throughout the years for me. It's you can't really ever totally fully relax, even when you live the 4-hour work week. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Very true. All right. So that was our rapid five. So where are you from? There's an accent. Can you tell us more about where you're from?
Definitely an accent, yeah. So I'm German. I was born in Germany, but I've been a nomad ever since I was a teenager. So I went to different schools here in the States and England. I've lived in Australia and all over the world, really. My family is still in Germany, and I'm actually flying out there on Sunday for a month. And so, yeah, I've been a nomad for a very long time, and a digital nomad ever since 2012, which is when I started my first business. And right now, the reason why I'm in LA, or I'm spending a lot of time in LA right now, is because my partner lives here. And we started dating earlier this year. So that's why LA.
Okay, I got it. All right. So Germany, tell us about your business journey. I mean, I know you said 2012. How did you get to this place where you are helping people create and teaching about vulnerability? What was your journey like?
Cool. Yeah. So I started my first business in 2012 after I tried 9 to 5 for like 8 months. And I was like, that's not for me. And I started out freelancing. I was really faking it until I made it. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew I didn't want to sit in an office all day. And then I started my first business, blog business, I call it, is a travel blog, and it turned into Germany's most popular travel blog, and it grew really quickly. It kind of exploded. And I wrote a lot about being a digital nomad, and that went really well, and launched a few digital products and started another business called Blogcamp. We were giving workshops online, offline, and then also created an online course for professional bloggers. And few other startups in between. Fast forward to about 2016, I had realized that just being a travel blogger and talking about traveling and kind of sharing all these beautiful photos on Instagram wasn't really very fulfilling anymore. Yeah. And I was searching for a more deeper, more meaningful purpose with my work. And I myself had been going through quite a lot of challenges in my personal life. And I felt like I was a bit of a fraud, because on the outside, everything looked amazing and beautiful. And look at Connie, who made it and living the 4-hour work week in Bali. But on the inside, I was very unhappy and I couldn't really share any of that. And so I had to make a decision, you know, which way to go. And I decided that I was either going to shut it down or actually start sharing more of the behind-the-scenes stuff and more of my emotional world and what I was actually going through. And so I started sharing more. And that eventually turned into Libya Heart Out, which I guess I sort of started in the beginning of 2017. And so I kind of pulled most of my energies out of the travel blog business and put it into Libya Heart Out. I switched everything from German to English, my YouTube channel and all that. And with Live Your Heart Out, I really explored vulnerability and personal development and really sharing my whole journey into finding myself even further, and my journey into healing and self-discovery, finding meaning in life and my work, really. Because every day I would wake up and just ask myself, like, what am I doing here? What's the meaning of life? Like, I went really deep for a very long time. And so I shared a lot of what I found and learned, and that resulted in several courses or workshops and all sorts of stuff and retreats. And then this year I shifted again because I had another sort of internal shift from going really deep within and to eventually realizing that it was time to also go in the direction of helping people to also create meaningful work and find more meaning with that, and build businesses that are mindful, conscious, meaningful, and really make an impact and a difference in the world. Yeah. And then I also realized, well, there's no point in me just like changing my brand every couple of years or so. And so now I'm just Connie. Literally my website's connie.me.
Yeah.
And it's all about me and my personal brand. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. A lot of great stuff there. You know, the question that popped up in my head when you were sharing is, what was the biggest surprise, that like the thing that you didn't expect to happen when you were just kind of grappling with the things you were going through and whether or not to share and be vulnerable? Mm-hmm. What was the biggest surprise after you did it?
The biggest surprise was that, you know, well, the fear was in the beginning that, oh man, people are going to judge me. And because we think that vulnerability and sharing our, you know, personal challenges is a weakness, you know?
Yeah.
It's what Brené Brown talks about in her talk and in her books. Like, when we see someone else making themselves vulnerable, we look at it as bravery, you know, and it's awesome and we love that. And but when we make ourselves vulnerable, we feel like it's a weakness. And so that's how I felt. But as I took one step after another and opened up more through my videos and blog posts and Instagrams, the biggest surprise was that people loved me more and really appreciated that openness. And they were like, oh my God, finally, Connie, you're sharing that kind of stuff. And so that was so beautiful. And I was so surprised just how important vulnerability is to really connect with people. And through that process, it was just so amazing to really build truly deep connections with my audience and the people that I was serving. And it was amazing to see how people were, you know, by me connecting to my own vulnerability, it's almost as though I gave them permission for them to also connect to these parts in themselves.
Yeah.
And so these were all things that I was just like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And it is hard. You know, I think it's something that I struggle with. But I've noticed that the times when I do share, the response just blows me away.
Right.
And so it gets a little bit easier each time, like when you, you know, and I think that we are craving that real human connection, especially online. So much just seems curated and artificial. And
exactly,
you know, we just are seeking that real connection. But it is hard. It's hard to, especially if you feel like you're a private person or you're dealing with some things, it can be difficult. So I want to come back to some ways to do that. But first, I'm curious. So you pulled yourself out of the travel blogging space.
Mm-hmm.
How did you make an income? Like, how did you turn this model of Connie sharing and helping people into a business model?
Yeah. So as I started sharing more of my own vulnerabilities, I learned so much. And I realized that there's not enough people that are also sharing their own vulnerable stories and parts of themselves online. And that, like you said, you know, we need more of that. And especially because it's not so easy. And so I realized, maybe there is a demand for people to learn more about that. And because so many people were like, I don't even know where to begin. And so I kind of validated the idea itself by just doing a little online workshop. A one-off workshop for like, I don't know, 2 hours and pretty like low price, just to kind of see, are people willing to pay money to learn more about that topic? And people did. And I was quite surprised. I was like, awesome. And then after that, I created an online course, which is called The Art of Vulnerability. And then I started selling that. And I mean, I've created all sorts of things since then. And that course is just part of my offering, I guess. And through that offering, part of the course is about how to also, not just how to share your vulnerability online, it's a part of it. The big part of the course is to actually get people to connect to these parts in themselves and a lot of journaling prompts and just, yeah, kind of getting people more acquainted with that before, because before you can share, you first need to know what's going on within yourself and really connect yourself and get to know yourself more and these parts. And it's a lot about shame. So I talk a lot about shame in the course and how we can de-shame parts that we feel insecure about and vulnerable about. Because that was also a really big surprise for me. It was like, the more I shared, the more vulnerabilities I shared, the more I actually de-shamed these areas. And shame for me was always a really big thing throughout my life. So it was very healing. And that was also one reason why I wanted to make my learnings and my experience available to other people to also take advantage of and for themselves. And so through that vulnerability course, you know, I got more people are like, okay, well, I'm kind of ready to share more of myself online, but I don't really know what I'm doing with my life. And so I eventually also ran a program which then also turned into a course called Find Your Magic, which is all about how to find your calling, which is also a very vulnerable process, actually. So vulnerability is also a big part in that program as well.
I want to come back to, well, we're going to talk about the course, but before, I just don't want to miss the opportunity to ask. I love that you said you validated that it's something that a lot of people are hesitant to do. And you just validated with a workshop to see if people would pay money. And they did. So you created the workshop. What did you learn as a result of the workshop that prompted you to decide to turn it into a course?
So I'm a huge fan of pre-validation. Like you said, like I think so many people don't do it. I think it's in so many ways, people can waste a lot of time, money, energy, resources. And there's so many beautiful ways these days to validate an idea or a course or any product. Yeah. And so I usually never just kind of start a course and record videos unless I actually know people want it. I don't ever want to be in that place. Everything I've ever created throughout the last 7 years has always been based on feedback and real demand from people. And to the point where I was like, I gotta make that course because I'm getting really annoyed with all these questions and it's always the same. And so eventually it was always based on real feedback. And with the workshop, so I think that, yeah, it's generally, I think it's a really cool way to validate an idea for a course because it's easy to set up. And you can also resell the workshop if you record it, you know, if you wanted to. So even if maybe it doesn't work out as well as you hope for, which is also great because then you can focus on something else. And but I had a bit of a number in my head. I don't necessarily remember how many people I wanted to register for the workshop, but let it be, I don't know, maybe I had a launch of like maybe a week or so and I wanted maybe 50 people to sign up and I had more than that signed up. Mm. And I think I sold the actual workshop for maybe $37 or something, or 40. Like it was fairly cheap, very affordable for people that really wanted to go deeper. And so for me, that was the validation. Like I kind of know pretty well by now, I guess, what numbers represent. And I also noticed throughout the workshop that 2 hours just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
People really wanted to go deeper. There was so much to explore around vulnerability and also sharing it publicly or, you know, with your partner, your friends, your family. Like there's so many different avenues that you can explore vulnerability. And I just realized that, oh man, 2 hours is nothing. So I could have gone, you know, 2 hours more and more. And so that's when I also realized, okay, I think a course is a really good idea because that gives me a lot more time and space to deliver more valuable content.
Yeah, I think those are great indicators. You know, when you are running a workshop and two things usually happen that let you know, okay, this probably should be a course. You get a lot of questions, some maybe you didn't anticipate, and you start realizing that there's more content. And also when, like you said, you realize that there's just not enough time and people are hanging with you and they, you know, they just want more. It's like, okay, this is a course. This is something bigger. So speaking of the course, The Art of Vulnerability, who is the course for?
Well, it's really for anyone who is interested in, you know, personal development, personal growth, and really digging deeper into themselves, getting to know themselves more, getting to know themselves better. But also for anyone who feels like they, when they feel, you know, when people say they feel disconnected or they don't really have deep connections with other people or friends or their partner, it's usually not about the other people or these friendships or relationships. It's usually that we ourselves are more, are actually disconnected from ourselves. And so by, digging deeper within ourselves, and I, you know, give them a lot of tools and exercises and journaling prompts. And, but it's also definitely for people who might already be, you know, they're sort of already well connected to themselves, but they shy away from sharing these vulnerable parts with other people. People who are struggling with shame in any shape or form, and people who are maybe also, thinking about possibly sharing more online or exploring their writing further in more personal ways and storytelling. So there's also a section about storytelling. And yeah, so it's pretty diverse in that way, but it's really for people who are really willing to take these steps into themselves, because it can also be a bit scary. Like, let's be honest, actually, most cases, it's not very comfortable and convenient to explore our vulnerable parts and explore shame, but it is so rewarding. And yeah, it'll really help you grow and evolve. So anyone who's interested in that.
Yeah, the most rewarding work is not very comfortable, you know. So what is the course goal? In other words, what do you want people to be able to do or discover after completing the course?
Yeah, I just really want them to, well, I mean, I don't, no one cares what I want. So,
or what should they be able to discover?
I just realized as I said that, I'm like, I don't think they care what I want. But I invite them. I would like to offer them the space and opportunity to connect to themselves really deeply, you know, for people to eventually say, yeah, I feel like I know who I am. And also, especially, of course, to be able to really connect to other people on a more deeper level. And eventually, for those people that are ready to explore that, also to connect to their audience more deeply. And that way, really create more meaningful content and create more meaningful relationships with other people. Because at the end of the day, you know, when we're in our deathbed, I think that's what we'll probably look back the most is the people in our lives, the connections that we've had and created, and the value that we provided for others and with our work. So
absolutely. All right. So let's talk about how you approach designing curriculum for a topic like vulnerability. What was your process?
What was your process?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons I really wanted to speak with you, because I've spoken with a lot of course creators, and, you know, it reminds me of a conversation I had with Sarah Selecki, who is a writer. And we talked about just the process, the inner monologue and struggle that writers deal with, and how do you compensate for that? And I think that some of that applies here. Vulnerability. Mm-hmm. How do you approach teaching and designing curriculum for that?
Of course, I had already done the workshop, so I had a bit of an idea, but, you know, the workshop didn't go in so much depth, and it didn't have different lessons and modules and stuff. So
yeah,
for me, it always starts as it did back in the days when I wrote a bachelor's thesis and my master's thesis and stuff. You just research. And I research until, that was a tip that a professor gave to me back in the days, because I was like, when do I stop researching? When do I know that I've collected enough information, you know? And he's like, you research until you come across the same ideas over and over again. Mm. And so that's how I did. I just researched a lot, and I love research. So I researched the hell out of the internet and books and videos and TED Talks and whatnot. And obviously Brené Brown. And so she was a great resource, obviously, because she had written, you know, a couple of books on it and gave the talk and kind of gave me a broad sort of framework maybe, but I didn't want to copy her work, obviously. So it was also a lot about digging into my process and figuring out. I was really outlining the steps that I took, all the things that I'd done that helped me. And then I literally just sat down and wrote down all the different lessons that I learned as if it was like a blog post or something. And so by doing all the research, seeing what's out there, also realizing that there's not that much out there on vulnerability, which cut my research session a bit short. And I looked for other people who were kind of, I guess you want to call them maybe vulnerable storytellers on Instagram or on YouTube, and people who weren't just using it to draw attention to them, but actually using it as a way to connect to people and share their vulnerable experiences with lessons and whatever they learn on the way. And so, you know, all of that, so the research, the books and whatever it's out there, you know, digging deeper into Brené Brown's work, digging into who else is out there actually practicing it, and then digging into my own journey and the process and which steps I'd gone through, that sort of gave me a lot to work with. And I knew that I didn't just want to talk about theory too much, because people, I believe, they buy self-study online courses, which is what that is. It's purely self-study. They buy, I believe, courses, and I could be wrong, but I think that many people buy courses because they want to learn the how, not necessarily the why and all these fluffy things. Like, they want real practical tips and advice and recommendations and kind of like a guide to get them from A to Z, right? Like, they're here. And I also really explored, yeah, like the whole branding questions of, you know, who am I talking to and what are their issues, you know? And I had talked to a lot of people before, and obviously during the workshop, and figuring out what their main issues were, and then figuring out where they want to get to. And in essence, really, you know, I think the curriculum came about because I asked myself, okay, if those people are here at A and they want to get to Z, how can I take them from A to Z?
Yeah.
And that in itself really gave me everything I needed to know on how to set up the curriculum. And I knew that I wanted to give them a lot of practical guidance and tools and tips, but also worksheets and a lot of questions, that because there's only so much people get out of watching a video. I think they need to do stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm so glad you said that, because that is one of my biggest frustrations of courses that don't actually have anything actionable. You know, in my opinion, that is the difference between, say, an ebook and a course, is that you kind of expect to do something, or at least that's what you should be. You should be applying the material. So before we continue, when did you launch the course? I know the workshop was 2017. When did the course go live?
much after that. I think the workshop was in like August 2017. And then I launched the course in like November, December. So it didn't take me too long. I just kind of doubled down. You know, what I did was I was living in Bali at the time and I couldn't record in my house because there were roosters and dogs all around. And so I booked myself into a nice hotel for like 2 or 3 days. And so that was my way of committing to it, setting myself a deadline, being like, okay, I got to have the content ready until then. And then I got to just sit down and record every day for those 3 days. And that's what I did. So it didn't really take me that long. I just doubled down. Yeah. Locked myself up.
You got to do that sometimes.
Yeah, it works.
So how is the course structured? Can you give us a peek inside and talk about the modules and lessons that are in the course?
Right. I'm going to have a look myself, actually. I mean, in the beginning, because vulnerability is, it's a concept that, you know, we kind of know what it is, but also I think there's still a lot of stuff around vulnerability that people don't realize. And so I share a lot about what vulnerability really is. And I talk a lot about like the hidden parts of vulnerability and why it's so powerful. And I also share, you know, in the beginning, just to kind of get people to open up to me. So I share a lot of my vulnerabilities and how I arrived at where I'm at today with vulnerability and why, you know, what prompted me to do the course. And it does get quite vulnerable for a reason, because it's a course on vulnerability, obviously, but also, you know how it is when you like make a new friend and you're in a coffee shop or something, and you can stay on that surface level for ages until someone finally opens up and makes themselves a little bit vulnerable or a lot. And then boom, you know, breaking the ice. Mm-hmm. And then as that one person does it, that opens up the door for the other person as well. And then suddenly, you know, you're talking about your childhood trauma. And I figured, you know, it's really important for me to kind of set the stage here. So that's a big part in the beginning. Because I did a 30 days of vulnerability challenge, like a year before that. And I talk a lot about that and I include all of those videos that I did. And so that people can actually see what me being vulnerable in front of the camera on YouTube looks like. Yeah. And then I'd go into all the basics about vulnerability. And a big part of the course is around fear and shame, because there is like the big question is, why do we fear vulnerability so much, right? And why are we so afraid of it? Why are we afraid to share shameful parts of ourselves? And what is shame really? Where does it come from? So I do go in, I don't want to call it theory, but I think it's really important to understand, because that in itself kind of, I feel like, takes away the anxiety and the fear surrounding all of that. And then, you know, I go into the more practical stuff of how to actually overcome these fears, how to de-shame ourselves and our lives. And, you know, there's a few meditations that I offer throughout the course. And then we dive into, you know, practicalities and practical tools and how to explore, you know, our own vulnerable parts and vulnerable stories, because we all carry them within ourselves. A lot of people just don't know how to access them. And a couple of lessons on vulnerability in romantic relationships, vulnerability in dating. So it's very diverse in that way, because vulnerability relates to so many areas of our lives. And then there's a big part about sharing our story, our vulnerable story online, and how to best do it, because so many people are so scared to do that and so worried about what other people think and worried about judgment and criticism. And so I talk a lot about that. And yeah, throughout it's, like I said, meditations, journaling prompts, all that stuff.
The structure that you're using reminds me of something that I worked on with a therapist. We created a course and we did a lot of meditation activities and just ways to tap into yourself, really. To tap into yourself, yeah.
And meditation is, I mean, the best way to tap into ourselves, I believe. And that's so many people are, I guess, maybe also afraid of meditation, because it gets you closer to yourself and it's really hard to face for some people. And so when we're exploring vulnerability, I think that, you know, a little bit of meditation is quite essential. Mm.
So where do people get stuck now that this course has been live for about a year? Mm-hmm. Where have you noticed that people get stuck, and how do you, or have you figured out how to support them in those spots?
Well, I think there's two places that people get stuck. So either people it's really easy for them to get vulnerable with like friends and family and partners and stuff. But then they struggle to share their vulnerabilities online or in their work. And then there's people who don't mind doing that online and in their business or in social media, but they really struggle to do it in their personal lives. And so those were kind of two. And in many ways, people just really stay in their heads. And I think that's a problem with so many things where people want to make a change or, you know, achieve something. And so people do the course, but they don't actually take action. And that is obviously something I think that's very frustrating for many course creators, because, yeah, you can give people all the information, you can give them the exercises, but if they don't actually do them, if they don't actually take action, then it's worthless. And especially when it comes to, you know, sharing yourself online, I think that many people just get stuck in their head and they get really wound up with the fear of judgment and being criticized, and that really paralyzes them. Yeah,
that's true. This is like a meaty topic. <I'm> like, I have these pauses, pensive pauses in between. I'm just thinking at the same time. So, in your course, and I learn how to share more and I learn to recognize things in myself and I can be more vulnerable. What is the next step for me?
Totally can scroll back in my Instagram posts and read through some of my posts from, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago and see that, you know, the stuff that I was sharing then, and just really very slowly opening up and very, you know, carefully in a way that doesn't overwhelm you. And I think that goes, let it be online, let it be in your friendships, and just really, you know, and when it comes to, let's say, interpersonal relationships in your life, just very slowly opening up communication more around your own vulnerabilities and seeing how that feels to share a little bit more. Not maybe if, you know, the whole thing doesn't feel comfortable, it's just little tiny mini steps to stretch that comfort zone a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think the more we do that and the more we see that nothing bad happens when we do that, on the contrary, only beautiful things happen and we grow and we evolve, that gives us more confidence to then, okay, take another step, you know, expand that comfort zone even more. And really also, especially in our interpersonal relationships, strike up these conversations more. And I give a list of questions too, as to how we can go deeper in, you know, when we meet new people or in our friendships or with our partner. And because, yeah, it can turn into a fun little practice. Yeah, those are a few things.
Yeah. So before we get to the final three questions, Connie, can you give us one of the questions that you ask that helps people to go deeper?
Pretty simple, but straightforward is like, I can do small talk because it's something you need to learn when you spend a lot of time in the United States.
I'm chuckling because there was a video that was online, and it was saying that Germans don't do small talk. And when you said that, it just brought everything back.
Yeah. It's like, you ask a German, hey, how are you? They will tell you how they are, right, and what they've been doing. Right. We take that question seriously. They're very disappointed when you ask them and you're not actually interested in what you got to say. So yeah, a couple of questions, really. And one thing I always like to ask people is that, hey, what excites you these days? What makes you feel excited? You know, you talk about that. And then one of the next questions could be, and you know, what have you been struggling with lately? Or what's been a really big challenge in your life? And those are very broad questions. And, you know, you can see very quickly, some people are like a bit taken aback, even though I find them pretty simple, straightforward questions, and would love to always share them with anyone who asks me them. But some people, when they're not used to that, they're always a little bit, huh? But I'm genuinely interested in the answers. Yeah. And I think also these two questions, they give you so much information about a person. Yeah, I think that they're a good starter for people.
I think those questions, especially the question about, like, what are you excited about? And I've just realized this year. That question can be disconcerting because we have to admit.
Yes.
you have to admit what you are actually excited about, but yes. Even scarier is you have to admit what you're not really excited about. You know, like what doesn't make the cut, whether you've told your manager or your spouse that you like doing this thing, but then when someone you don't know really asks you and it's like, oh, this thing that I'm supposed to, like, it could be your profession. Like, this thing that I do every day was not the first thing that came to mind.
Yes, that is so true. And it's also really awesome that when you see people tap into what excites them, just like how they light up and when they talk about it, just yeah. So beautiful.
Yeah, it forces you to reckon with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're down to the final three questions. First one is an easy one. What is next for you? Anything exciting coming up?
Well, I just launched a big thing or opened a big thing. I created a membership community and I launched that about a month ago and I'm reopening in January. So right now it's kind of like a beta phase, I guess.
Yeah.
It's called Co-Create and it's for anyone who's a conscious creator, a conscious entrepreneur, wanting to connect with other people but also learn, because I do a lot of workshops in there around conscious entrepreneurship and creating a meaningful business and changing the world and all those things. Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm working on right now. And for next year, I'm also really focusing on learning more about filmmaking, digital filmmaking. And I just kind of want to, yeah, like video is something that really fascinates me. So those are like the two main things right now.
Okay. Or I saw Co-Create on the website. We'll be sure to share a link to that.
Sweet.
When you in the show notes.
Thank you.
Next, where can people find out more about you and your work?
Cool. Yeah. So really easy. Connie, CONNI.me and all over Instagram, Connie Bizalski, YouTube, Connie Bizalski. And I got a podcast too. So it's all over.
Yeah. All right. Last, what is your why? Why do you get up and do this work every day?
Oh, man. I do it because I'm constantly chasing meaning in life, and I know how amazing it feels when I wake up in the morning and I feel like I'm doing something meaningful and that's creative. And my big why is that I just want everybody else out there to have the same experience. And also because by creating and by really creating value for other people and something that's meaningful and changing people's lives, it really helped me to overcome my depression a couple years ago. And it was so amazing to see how that worked out for me in that way. I mean, there were many different things that I did, but that really helped. And I know that there's so many people out there who struggle with that question for meaning in their work and their career, and they suffer with depression and whatnot. And I invite other people to also have the same experience as me, because once we're connected to the part in ourselves that feels meaningful and purposeful and we're following our calling, then nothing can stop us. And so that's my big why.
I love it. Connie, thank you so much for sharing not only your why, but everything else that you have talked about in this episode. I think vulnerability is a great topic that we could all spend more time exploring. So thank you. Hey, family. Thanks for listening to the interview with Connie. I really enjoyed talking about vulnerability. You know, it's one of those things that we don't talk about enough. We're running from vulnerability, running from the truth of our lives instead of sharing that. And I think that when you share the ways that make you vulnerable, it helps others and helps you to get clarity. You know, I think we need more of that. I think we need more of that. Not oversharing, but the power of being vulnerable. So speaking of the power of being vulnerable, Connie and I recorded a bonus segment for you. And in that bonus segment, we talk about how to use vulnerability, the power of vulnerability in your work. So how vulnerability can actually empower your mission, how it can give you insight into new things to create in your work, especially for entrepreneurs. And we talk about what the difference is between vulnerability or being vulnerable and oversharing. So if you want to check that out, it's really easy. Head over to get.zencourses.co/extra. Once again, that's get.zencourses.co/extra. Pop in your email address and you will get an email from me with a link to watch or listen to the bonus segment. All right. I can't wait to see you there. Thank you so much for listening. All right, my friends, that is my time. Remember, before you can level up your course, you must first level up your mind. As always, thank you for hanging out with me for another great episode. I do not take it for granted. I am Janelle Allen, and this has been Level Up Your Course. Peace.